This is With Good Reason. I'm Sarah McConnell. The Power Teaching Program is happening in large part because of Project Director John Nunnery. He's been doing research on cooperative learning for 20 years. John is the Executive Director of the Center for Educational Partnerships at Old Dominion University, where his project has caught the attention of the White House and the Department of Education. He joins me now to talk about his motivations for improving math education at the middle school level. Last year, you, in preparation for all this, you visited 90, what I would, I guess, call ordinary middle school classrooms, right?
Yes.
What did you notice?
So we saw some pockets of excellence. There's some really fantastic teachers out there. But what I noticed time and time again, no more than a third of the kids were actively engaged at any given time. You know, there's a group that's bored, there's a group that's acting up, there's a group that appear to be complying with what the teacher's asking. Teachers just tended to serially present test problems, and there was very little engagement. And I went back into one of these classrooms about 4 months after we started the project. And in the same classroom, which was truly depressing the year before when I saw it, kids rushed into the classroom, grabbed their team folders, and were sitting down working 3 minutes before the bell rang. And there's this technique that we use called get the goof, which is how we start class. So the day before, the teacher collects some assessments at the end of the day to see what concepts are the kids kind of not getting. And then she'll put three or four problems up on the board that are worked out incorrectly. And I remember this little girl came up to me and tugged on my sleeve and said, "Mister, would you guys mind moving out of the way? You're blocking our get the goof." And so the difference in the positive energy, the really almost universal student engagement and enthusiasm for math instruction was just incredible.
Where did you start to see a math program modeled that you thought, let's take this and make it national?
Yes. So I was actually a research scientist at Johns Hopkins back in the late 90s. And I worked for Robert Slavin, who developed this cooperative learning model. He and actually his spouse, Nancy Madden, have been working to reform American education so that it works for all kids for almost 40 years now. And what I found is that in many, many studies, on average, secondary school kids gain about 40% more in math using this approach versus using a traditional approach. In a traditional classroom, the teacher presents problems, works problems out for the kids. The kids are expected to sit there and be quiet unless they're talking to the teacher. Oftentimes, the teacher will ask a question of one student, so they'll say, "You know, Johnny, what is 4 squared? And so as soon as that teacher does that, the other 29 kids in the classroom turn their brains off because they know that only Johnny is on the spot. If Johnny doesn't get it right, then the teacher just gives everyone the answer. And you see this over and over and over and over. What we're encouraging people to do is turn the responsibility for the learning over to the kids. Teach them how to help each other learn the math content.
But, you know, typically in those groups, didn't you have some kids that check out, let the one bright one do it all, the one energetic one do it all?
Well, and that's the whole thing. So there are some essential elements. The kids are put in teams for a fairly extended period of time, and they develop an identity as a team. They are recognized and rewarded as a team by the teacher. Each team is set up to be very diverse. So, you know, the bright kid that might ordinarily take something over realizes that the more they help the kid that's struggling, if that kid shows growth, then the team is rewarded. So you have to explicitly teach kids how to work together as a team. You can't just, have a group assignment and hand that over with some instructions because, of course, what you will get is one kid will tend to take it over.
Is this grant and the energy behind it because of a personal, longstanding passion of yours?
Yes, actually, I was born into, fairly difficult circumstances. My mom was a single parent with three boys. I was fortunate in that I was able to go to school with the doctor's kid, the pharmacist's kid, the truck driver, you know, so I got the same opportunity that every other kid did. My mom at the, you know, when I was a young child was a housewife, and then she and my dad broke up very shortly after that. Our house burned, so we actually moved into my aunt's kitchen, my mom and my two brothers. And then she went through a series of basically trying to figure out what to do. She tried to sell shoes. She was a beauty school dropout. I think she messed up the mayor's wife's hair or something and had to leave that job. She eventually became an LPN.
So you end up going to a school in this small town with the gifted kids and the disadvantaged kids.
Yes. And I guess I was a combination of both. My little town, it literally had railroad tracks, and white people lived on one side of those railroad tracks. African-American people lived on the other side of those railroad tracks. And I was a poor kid like these other kids. I played sports. You know, I knew a number of kids who were African-American who were as bright as me and the other kids that were getting these advanced mathematics opportunities, and they simply didn't get them.
How, as a child, could you notice that kids on the other side of the track weren't getting special math skills developed?
Because I was in all the classes and they were simply were not enrolled. There were no African-American kids in pre-algebra. There were none in algebra. There were none in ninth grade geometry. There were none in algebra 2 in 10th grade. There were none in trigonometry in 11th grade. And there were none in pre-calculus in 12th grade.
Did you think anything of it at the time?
No, you know, honestly, I think it's only later through the study of American history of the civil rights movement, the history of slavery, Native American history, that really helped me interpret my prior experience as a child in a way that made me want to commit to doing something to rectify that problem.